According to Runner's World, running a marathon is still extremely popular. And for anyone who has done it, congratulations. And it's easy to see why. It's a great way not only to set a goal, reach it, celebrate the achievement, stay healthy. And of course, it helps you push yourself beyond what you thought was possible. So what has that got to do with the amygdala? Stay tuned.
Welcome to Hypno Running, the show where we do more than just talk about running. We help you find solutions to develop your full potential, making you a better, faster, and smarter runner. And here is your host, Heiko.
Yes, thanks for joining us on today's podcast. As the lady said, Heiko is my name, H-E-I-K-O. And you know what? This is the fourth season. I can't believe it. Hey, consistency, as in run training, is the key, isn't it? You do one step after the other. You do one run after the next. The weeks turn into months. And next thing you know, you're on the line for a marathon. And if you have entered the Berlin Marathon, well, it's on the horizon now. It's getting close. And perhaps right now, it might be you're doing another marathon. It might be you're not living in Europe. It might be you're somewhere in the US. If you have a marathon coming up, now's the perfect time to reflect on your training routine, whether you're a seasoned marathoner or you're just lacing up your running shoes for the first time after many years. You know, there are a number of thought-related issues that you're going to need to overcome, and most of them have to do with the amygdala. And the amygdala? What is the amygdala? Well, actually, it's nothing more than just brain tissue. Neurons and the cells, they send and relay electrical and chemical signals through your brain and through the nervous system. And there's something called the glial cells. You know, these include several type of those cells that act like caretakers for neurons. And they do maintenance and support around those neurons. And one particular ability of your amygdala is to skip processing steps related to your senses. For example, if you hear a dangerous sound, you know, you're crossing the street and you hear tires screech, you don't need to like stop and turn around and see, oh my goodness, it is a Yukon. Oh wow, that's a 2010 model. That's amazing. Look at the smoke coming out from those tires, which are locked as the vehicle is. No, you know, screeching car tires, you know, you react immediately. So you're skipping that processing steps and your amygdala immediately sends emergency signals. Okay? Now, that effect can also be taken to a next level, the amygdala hijack. You can Google that, or the emotional hijack. Hollywood movies, just picture it. A law enforcement officer, he's commandeering someone's car in an emergency. Go down Fifth Avenue, you know, and the amygdala hijack. So it's when that takes control of your body to protect you from danger, right? So the effect is helpful in dangerous situations, like if we're out and we're hunting and, you know, there's still dinosaurs around, because it can activate your fight or flight response. But it can also contribute to your mental health conditions, PTSD, especially when it's mistakenly interprets things happening around you, signs of danger. But they're not. A balloon popping. Get down, everybody on the floor, get down. It's just a balloon popping, okay? Now, this fight or flight response, it also has a pivotal role in a role of memory. For example, the emotion learning. Now, the amygdala, it has a role in mediating between emotional learnings and emotional behaviors. And we're getting to the running part. You know, using the Pavlovian conditioning can produce something called fear conditioning to occur. Now, after repeated pairing, or for example, the burst of the balloon, the neurons within the amygdala will be conditioned to the change in stimuli, reflecting a conditioned fear response. So then that person would then become fearful, whatever is related to that loud bang. Now, marathon running. In German, there is a saying called the man with a hammer. So actually, it's the man with the hammer is hitting a wall. And it's the slang term for an athlete's drop in performance during a marathon, predominantly towards the latter part of the marathon. And mostly, the man with a hammer happens somewhere after kilometer 30 in the last 10 or 12 kilometers of the distance. But what actually happens is, It's your glycogen reserves. They are completely depleted. They result in a drop in performance unless you have replenished your energy during the marathon. Now, the reason for hitting the wall or for bonking or for the man with a hammer, the man with a hammer, yeah, it's that performance drop, a drastic drop in running speed. It's because of four reasons: carbohydrate efficiency, hypoglycemia, low blood sugar levels, or you started out too fast. It always doesn't have to be complicated words, or you have a bad daily condition, maybe some unexpected health problems. Now, the main reason for the man with a hammer or the bonking is a combination of a lack of high carbohydrates and bad schedule for the race. These are statistics speaking here, because a fully filled glycogen store is sufficient for about 90 minutes. So unless you're very fast, you need to fuel up again. So you need to, the body would then have to get the energy from burning fat, which inevitably leads to a reduction in running speed. So therefore, the intake of energy gel or through carbohydrates is very, very vital. Now, studies in various literature supports the view that the amygdala has a huge influence, much more than thought before, on cognitive processes such as memory formation, decision-making, keeping attention, and social behavior. Again, memory formation, how did you perform in your last marathons? Decision-making, am I feeling good? What am I going to do now? Attention, am I on pace? Am I running the perfect line? Am I in the right group? And social behavior. So it can be assumed that this is, of course, the amygdala is protecting information to the prefrontal and sensory cortex, as well as the hippocampus. So it's contributing to these emotions in the cognitive process. Now, the amygdala is remarkably close to the hippocampus, and these two work together to make memories more memorable. And the amygdala can attribute emotions to a memory. There's always an emotion attached to a memory. And if you look at it, the last finish you had of any race where you reached your fastest time, just think back of a race where you were extremely proud of yourself. And it's a highly emotive, positive memory, so it'll be retained. And mostly emotional memories, they tend to be permanent. Whereas those runs where you neither went for gold or glory, you just wanted to finish, that those mundane type of runs, I'm not belittling them. I'm just saying it's runs where you weren't working towards your best finish time. They have little or no emotional attachment, and they are therefore easily forgotten. So again, the amygdala acts as a store for your positive and, unfortunately, your not so positive memories. But for those runs where you struggled, where you had major issue, where it was a huge effort, and despite saying to yourself, don't give up, never give up, and listening to the theme or music of Rocky, you gave up. It is a emotional trauma. This is when the amygdala can be detrimental, as these events can, of course, sometimes be difficult to overcome. It's a highly emotional memory. So, okay, perhaps you don't know what I'm talking about. For those of you who haven't experienced it yet, let me give you another example. You know, perhaps it happens during childhood that something happens, you know, or, you know, you got bitten by a dog. And today, if you see a miniature poodle coming your way that is held on a leash, you cross the street. Or if you're an adult, you don't swim in the ocean because Jaws is there. Now, you really don't need to worry about Jaws, my personal opinion. That movie was released, can you guess? 48 years ago. I'm pretty sure that if that shark still exists, he's lost his teeth. But you get my point. So, individuals who have experienced this type of trauma, they may also find that the experience of this trauma can affect other cognitive functions as a result. Because the amygdala, as I said before, is connected to other regions. This is going to lead to, big drum roll, a lackluster run goal. That might be it, why you don't have proper run goals. That might be the reason you don't have attention to detail on your training plan. That's why you don't have any desire or any effort to risk. That's why perhaps you're having an aversion towards risk. And you've been running 3-hour 30 marathons every year after year after year. And you know, actually, you are a 3:15, a 3:10 marathon runner. Why are you leaving those 20 minutes on the track? For what? So that's why it's so important to stay on course once you've set that goal. And Berlin is looming around the corner. You keep on track with your running goals. Your marathon start line is there. You need to be ready. You need to keep that focus up. And these topics or issues you might face whilst during training or during that big day are following. They're just a few of them. Motivation. Motivation is the key, or it's the nail in the coffin. You know, when you've signed up, you know, you were serious and the excitement kept you going. Your interest was peaked. But then, of course, during the training, maybe it faded away. Maybe it became less and less. And maybe now these personal targets, they are not challenging enough, especially now you're heading towards tapering or you're having doubts all the way. And you're just saying, you know what? I'm just lacking motivation. If you are saying that, you have the wrong view. You're most probably thinking, one, motivation, two, action, which leads to three, more motivation. But that's wrong. We spoke about this so often in this podcast. Season four, as I said, go back to season one, to season two, season, every season we talk about motivation. Why? First, you need to take action. When I'm in motion, I will be motivated, which will lead to more motivation. So motivation is the first one. The second one is you might be hitting the wall. And this is, of course, the Achilles heel of every runner. You've put in some really fantastic miles, and then all of a sudden, you're hitting the wall. We spoke about that. You need to practice your refueling. Don't be the hero who powered past the aid station at kilometer 30. And then, you know, at kilometer 33, that's it. It's tickets for you. No. The wall can be avoided. Yes, actually, that's perfect. The wall can be avoided. You need to plan it and you need to practice it. One big issue I want to mention here is tight calf muscles. The number of runners that I've met, especially if you're running on long, flat surfaces due to the high impact, you need to make sure you stretch out your calf muscles. I would even recommend going for a sports massage, especially for those tight calf muscles. Loosen them up before you do that marathon. And of course, losing steam. Oh my goodness. If you're close to Berlin and you're losing steam, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, you're taking silly decisions and all of a sudden you're thinking about, should I quit? You know, I'm at kilometer 20. Let's take worst case scenario. I'm at kilometer 20. This is not looking good. I'm really losing steam. What am I going to do? Oh my goodness. You know what? You're going to walk. You're going to walk 5 minutes or you're going to walk 10 minutes. You might even walk 15 minutes. And during that time, you're going to reflect. You're going to drink something. You're going to eat something. You're going to check what happens. You're going to check what pain are you really feeling. And those 10 minutes, those 15 minutes are not going to be wasted. You're going to recuperate your mental state. And you're going to realize your heartbeat has come down. Your heart rate has come down. You're going to realize, hey, there is movement in your legs. You have been walking. You've been covering the miles. And the next thing, you're going to be able to pick up steam again. What does it matter if you cross the line 5 or 10 minutes later, but you've crossed it rather than giving up? Hey, and of course, a big one, avoid any illnesses. You have got a couple of weeks still to go. Be sure that you avoid those people that are sneezing and that are coughing. That should be an easy one. And now if you've already completed a couple of marathons, you know, it takes a unique form of determination. You know, setting out to accomplish something that apparently only 0.01% of the global population has done, those 26 miles, it takes a level of persistence that some people are going to call you crazy. And of course, there's a difference in persistence between somebody who's doing a couple of marathons or somebody who's an Olympic marathon runner. And most probably, as you've crossed the line and you've got that medal, you're going to look at the top finishers and you're going to ask yourself, how do they do it? Ask yourself this after they cross the line. And it's simple. It has to do with genes, age, training environment. And what we overlook is the grit and tenacity, plus what is happening in the brain when commit to completing a marathon. Now, there's a difference in physical performance, which makes it obvious that there's also a difference in mental performance between us, the middle of the pack runners, and the pro runners. And to explore that driving force behind a new runner, you know, he or she will just picture the finish line, commit to it, think about visualizing it, crossing that finish line, you know, have a mental picture, accomplishing this goal, and not wanting to let oneself down. Now, guess what? The pro runner shares the common thought, and that is, I don't want to let anybody down. Why? An Olympic marathon runner, he's got sponsors, he's got coaches. He's got officials. He's got other teammates, other team members which weren't selected because he was selected to go and fill that marathon spot. So others which are good were left behind. So it means he has to be a lot better. You don't have that type of pressure. And that's what happens where the amygdala comes back into the mention. Why? Because it impacts the experience of emotions and it can create mental weeds. You know, it can cause runners to feel nervous, whether you're a pro or a first time or a middle of the pack runner. And it tries to pull your emergency brake out of fear or anxiousness. So what do you need to do? The most important thing, find a positive mental space. Practice it. Focus on what is there. You know, sometimes they have these wonderful, I like these guys that beat these drums. I don't know if they're Japanese or Korean or what. It's like these guys, they have these huge big drums about the size of a huge barrel and they beat them. And you can feel it in your chest as you run past it because like 10 or 15 drummers, boom, 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 boom. And they wear these headbands and they're like, they pretend they're real cool. So, and that inspires me. I can feel the release of dopamine, you know, and of the endorphins. So focus on what is out there. Perhaps you got some music with you. Put on some music. So keep that in mind for that big race. When you feel that the mental hurdle is becoming too high, find something to distract yourself on the outside. Because our brains are complex and there's a lot to endure. So whether it's your 100th or your first, putting your mind to this goal and keeping these steps that I mentioned in place, that's going to help you achieve major, major wins and create fantastic memories. I found something which I want to share with you. It's called The Limits of Neurotalk, and it's from published in 2008. Emotions and reasons are not separate entities. They do not occur in discrete areas of the brain, and it is far better to understand them to be two sides on the same coin. One needs both sides. One cannot have a coin with a single side. It's an impossibility. Therefore, sighing and crying are not just emotions or feelings. They are not just matters of the heart, but also matters of the head. These expressed feelings have reason, thought, firmly attached to them. Charles Whittaker, 1944 to 2021. Wonderful. I want to finish with this, explain it in another context. You know, the Apostle Peter's denial of Christ, that is a classical example of a neurological emotional failure that today is commonly referred to as the amygdala hijacking, which I spoke about earlier. And as Peter demonstrates all too painful in Luke 22, the process typically involves sudden, intense emotion that trigger an impulsive reaction that is later hugely regretted. So don't create regrets. Focus on these points. Your motivation, remember, that comes from action. Action leads to motion, motivation, which leads to more motivation. Avoid hitting the wall by making sure you are taking power gels, you're drinking enough water. Get that calf muscle massage done. Ha! I wish you an excellent marathon, one where you really achieve those goals. And you know what? Take a risk. Go for your personal goal. Thanks for joining me on today's podcast. My name is Heiko. God bless you. And remember, take it easy.